and foolishness in the eyes of man, at least, but in the eyes of God, the wisdom of God which saves us. This morning we are talking about preaching. We've been talking about entering His presence in worship. We've focused a couple lessons on the general principles of worship and how we're changed through worship and reverence in worship. Then we began to look at different acts of worship. We talked about singing and prayer, and last week the Lord's Supper. And this week we're talking about preaching. Just like the other aspects of worship, this aspect of worship contains a very human element. And it's, in some ways, this human element that's often caused preaching to be very controversial and sometimes even one that can breed division within a church. And also, it also causes us to have opinions. Well, we like that preacher, or we like that sermon more than we like that sermon or that preacher. Yet it's also the case that though this is a very human element, and certainly it is, it's also a very divine element. This is God's word that is supposed to be taught and proclaimed. The problem with that is, it is truth through personality. In other words, it is God's word coming through a fallible man who has a personality and who has strengths and weaknesses. So oftentimes we see the man and miss the message. But preaching still has a great place and a tremendous purpose for the church and for the Lord. This morning we want to think about preaching and its role in our worship. First of all, we want to think about the purpose of preaching. The purpose of preaching could be described in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 28, where Paul would say in that context that his job or his goal was to do this: Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. There's one verse that describes the work of a preacher. That would certainly be a great verse to do such. It's our job to warn everyone, to teach everyone, to try to present each person mature in Christ Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, it opens up by saying that God has now spoken to us through His Son. And this message that His Son has proclaimed then is to be proclaimed to all people. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in this context, we note that Paul says, as we often do in verse 16, that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. You see, preaching must be based upon Scripture. In fact, if preaching is not based, and if it's not a delivery of God's word, then it is not acceptable preaching or teaching as an act of worship. It's not supposed to be man just sharing his thoughts. It's not a time for us to just share what Jesus has meant to us, or a time for us to talk about what we think people should do to be nice and kind to one another. But preaching is supposed to be a time when God's word is explained, when God's word is read, and when God's word is taught. Paul then, notice, connects. We often separate these because of the chapter breaks, but if you notice, verse 16 and 17 talks about all Scripture is breathed out by God, and then verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine or sound teaching, But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. The church is a people who are called by the Word of God, and we need the sustaining message each time we gather of the Word of God. We need Scripture to be applied and interpreted to our life. In fact, it has been said, and it's certainly true, that preaching has no purpose. It has no purpose apart from the fact that man is lost and his greatest need is salvation from sin. That's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 10. Look with me to that context as well. Where Paul says, and you're familiar with this passage in verse number 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching?" Now, we understand that all of us have a responsibility of sharing the good news, of telling others, in some ways being preachers in that sense. But there's also a very specific requirement for preaching to be done within our worship assembly, where we hear the Word of God. We come to understand the Word of God as it is proclaimed. Paul goes on and he says in verse 15, "How are they to preach unless they are sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Notice that people must hear the word of God so that faith can be born in their hearts and they can respond to it. Preaching is to be the sharing, the teaching of God's word. And preaching has the divine purpose of proclaiming God's word. And so preaching is a man hearing a message from God. When you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 22, or 1 Kings chapter 22, the story of Micaiah, he's a prophet. And Ahab is looking for a message about whether they should go into war. And so he's asked all the prophets, and all the false prophets have told Ahab that he will have victory. And they say, go up. And Jehoshaphat, the king, the other king that he's going into war with, says, well, isn't there another prophet that we should ask? And Ahab reluctantly said, well, there's another prophet named Micaiah, who often prophesies against me. And I don't like what he says. But with the insistence of Jehoshaphat, they call for Micaiah to come up. And on the chariot ride up, they tell Micaiah, they said, now Micaiah, many other prophets have already told the king what he wants to hear. And they say this, let your word be as the other prophets. In other words, you just agree with what everybody else has said. And Micaiah says this. He says, what the Lord says, that I will speak. What the Lord says, that I will speak. In our lesson on prayer, we talked about how prayer is when someone takes the thoughts, the requests, the thanksgiving, and the confessions of the audience and themselves, and they take those things before the throne of God. Preaching is just the opposite. Preaching is when we take God's word and we take those things that are said and revealed in Scripture and we present them to the congregation who has assembled. You see, just as prayer is holy and we're talking to God, so preaching is holy in that we are listening to God. Now we understand, just like prayer, it is done through a human element. And the man leading the prayer doesn't always say things maybe we might want to be said, or maybe even always adequately capture our heart, but we still appreciate and we still join with him in prayer. So preaching is once again done with the man who doesn't always deliver God's message the best that it should be, but it is still a holy part of our worship where God's Word is shared. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul would talk on several occasions there about how the purpose of preaching, and he calls it prophecy in that context, and edification, is to build up, to comfort, to instruct, to teach, to exhort. That's the purpose of preaching. That's what we want to do when we stand up and teach. That's what we want to do in our Bible classes when we're teaching God's Word and when the preacher proclaims His Word. And so we have the purpose of preaching. But notice, number two, there must be a passion for preaching. A passion for preaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul speaks about the context that we read at the beginning of our lesson, about the foolishness that the world sees in preaching. Notice Paul says in verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize." In other words, that's not his purpose to physically do baptism. He's obviously teaching baptism. He does that a lot in his letters. But his purpose was to proclaim or preach the gospel, not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, or foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul says in this context that preaching is the wisdom of God. That the world says that it is foolish. That the world says that the things that we preach and proclaim in the Word of God really doesn't make a lot of sense. If you think about it, the principles, for example, of the Sermon on the Mount that we have preached and proclaimed this year, and we went through that sermon in a series of about 15 or so lessons. Think about how that is so countercultural. And now, in many ways, the concepts of loving your enemies and forgiving and not treasuring up treasures on earth, but treasuring up treasures on heaven. How not worrying. All those things. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the poor in spirit. All those things. The world in action and in word often says are foolish. But Jesus said, it is the wisdom of God. You see, you think about even what Paul goes on to say later on in this context when he says, for example, in verse 22, "For the Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So Paul in chapter 2 will go on and say, "For when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Preaching must be centered around the cross of Christ. Maybe we don't use the term as often as past generations did, but we still need to emphasize it. Preachers should be gospel preachers. We don't preach ourselves. We don't preach just the latest things going on in the culture. But we have a message of the gospel. And so whether it's the paid preacher who's located in a local work, or whether it's the elders who are standing up teaching, or it's someone else who's standing up teaching and preaching in our classes or in our worship assembly, the central message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean that every lesson is focused on the cross, but it means the entire doctrine that we teach and preach must come and be founded upon the message in the life of Jesus. And so we still study the Old Testament. We still preach from the Old Testament. But it's seen through the lens of the cross of Christ. And we still study about daily living. And we still study about marriage. And we still study about the end of time. And we still study about all kinds of things. But all those things are viewed through the lens of Jesus Christ and the difference He makes in everything. You see, it is all about Christ in that we serve a living Savior who died for our sins. You see, there must be a passion for preaching. Preaching is not so much about the preacher, but it is about the message. The greatest of preachers are those who, when you hear them, you leave saying, not what a preacher, but what a Savior. The greatest of preachers are those who are able to hide behind the cross of Christ and proclaim it in its truth and sincerity. We need to encourage our young men to be skilled and able to teach and preach. We need to encourage our young women to be able to teach children in Bible classes and to be able to teach ladies in ladies' classes and things. We need to encourage and help people to understand that there is a great purpose and a great role in teaching and proclaiming God's Word. I heard a story about a man who had been working his earlier life as a preacher some, and then he went into teaching college. He was teaching, I believe, at a secular college. And then he had made a transition or had lost that job, whatever reason, he was looking for an employment. And he was talking to someone and he made this remark. He said, "I'm not too good to go back into preaching." Think about that. I'm not too good to go back into preaching. He was advised to not go back into preaching. You see, preaching is something that's not a low profession, but preaching is a high calling. I heard another story about a man who was a very significant preacher in the area, had been there for a long time, not our area, but another area. It was a pretty well-known name, and he was encouraged by a lot of the townspeople to seek a state political office, and they felt like because of his popularity, he could win. But after praying about that and thinking about that, he made the remark, "I cannot come down," quoting from Nehemiah when he was up on the wall working. In other words, he said, "I'm not going to quit this good work I'm about, even if it might mean going up in terms of the eyes of the world to some political appointment." You see, preaching is not for everyone, obviously. But preaching is certainly very important and very needed, and we need to encourage future generations of preachers. There should be a passion for preaching. We need to understand, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, that it's not about the person who's proclaiming it, that all of us are going to fall short in our proclamation of the gospel. For verse 5, he says, "For we proclaim, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ." Verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Paul says that when we're proclaiming the gospel as evangelists out in our community, and you're talking to someone about the gospel, or the preacher is up preaching the gospel in an assembly like this, that whatever human vessel it is, we're like that clay pot that was made out of clay, that was made out of dirt and earth, and that was susceptible to being broken and cracked and things. But inside was the oil that lit the lamp. And so it is that it's not about the earthen vessel, that the apostles were earthen vessels. He says they were outer clay that were broken. But the message that they contained, the message they shared, proved that it's about God. And so it is. You know, sometimes we're asked, "Well, what about if a preacher marries me or a preacher baptizes me?" And then that preacher
gets involved in sin and leaves the church or leaves the Lord, does that mean my baptism's invalid? Well, certainly not. Does that mean the gospel message he preached was invalid? Paul even talks about that in Philippians 1 when he talks about some preach Christ out of envy and strife. They were preaching Christ because they were wanting to make more hardship upon Christ. But you know what Paul said? I rejoice because Christ is preached. You see, the message is going to always outlive and always be greater than any person. And so though we often understand that truth is proclaimed through personality, though the personality and the human element will fail, the message is true. There should be a passion in preaching. Jeremiah talks about the fire in his bones. Preaching should be something we have passion for. Something we have a passion for wanting to hear and learn from. But number three, and finally, there should be a priority of preaching. Preaching occupied a rather large role in the early church. We've already talked about 1 Corinthians 14 and how preaching is central to the worship assembly there. I want you to think about some of the early preachers. Jesus preached, didn't he? I mean, you think about the role that Jesus had here on this earth. He did miracles, but the miracles were done to confirm the word. It was to show that the words he was preaching was true. And so Jesus preached. Think about Paul. Paul preached in Acts chapter 20. He preached till midnight. One man even went to sleep and fell off the windowsill. Paul preached. Study out the book of Acts. You see them at every opportunity gathering to hear preaching and preaching. The apostles preached often. It occupied a large role in the church. And notice also, preaching must be authoritative. It must be authoritative. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, excuse me, they said of Jesus that he spoke with authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus preached with authority. And we preach his words in Titus chapter 2, verse number 15. Notice what Paul tells the young preacher Titus. He says, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Another story. One young preacher, and I think this is not just with young preachers, but it's a common problem amongst our world today. A preacher said, well, I'm not much on doctrine. Well, I think we might reply, he wasn't much of a preacher either. You see, preachers have a responsibility of preaching doctrine. Preachers have a responsibility of preaching the whole counsel of God, Acts chapter 20. Preachers have a responsibility of teaching and preaching on things like the oneness of the church, upon heaven as well as hell, upon our soul, upon materialism, upon greed, upon marriage and divorce and remarriage, and upon all these very challenging topics, upon stewardship and giving. And there must be some authority, not in the human element, but in the divine element of preaching. And so we gather to hear not a man preach, but we gather to hear the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says this to Timothy. We've already read this, but he says, I charge you to present in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, to preach the word. We have a responsibility to do such, and there is authority in that message. And so a preacher is to preach as a dying man to dying people, throwing out a lifeline of hope and salvation. People have enough instructors and enough help. They need a Savior. And so preaching has that responsibility of uplifting Christ. And thus listeners must heed and obey. In Hebrews, the Bible speaks of this in chapter 4 when it speaks about the former generation in chapter 2 and chapter 4 verse 2. For good news came to us just as it did them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. And then in verse number 7, again he says, as he appointed a certain day, saying, David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And then he says in verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Let us strive to enter that rest. Because in verse 12, notice this, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul, of spirits, joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the hearts. Listeners have a responsibility of applying the Word of God. In the words of Jesus, as he often said, he who has ears, let him hear. James said, we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And so preaching is not just monologue, but preaching involves a dialogue aspect where the preacher preaches, but the listeners respond, maybe not verbally, but they must respond, and the preacher must respond to the Word of God. And so in many ways, preaching is where, at its ideal, preaching is where the Word of God is lifted up, and the preacher just proclaims it. And the whole congregation hears and heeds and lives it out. Preaching is not saying, go out and be nice this week. Preaching is not about comedians or entertainment. Preaching is about hearing a message and word of Christ because we all desperately need a message from God. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, we want to help you do that. If you need to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and sing.